and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudali Wickham Ashby. And today I have in the studio with me Makeda Bourne, the Substance Abuse Prevention Officer with the National Council on Substance Abuse.
If you feel like you've lost control, or maybe you've lost your way, if you need someone to talk to, you can call us, you can call Lean on the MCSA.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, know that the National Council on Substance Abuse is here to help. You can give us a call at 535-6272 or visit ncsa.gov.bb.
Lean on the MCSA.
Welcome to Visions, Makeda.
Thank you so much, Yudaling. Good day to all of Barbados and all the persons who are listening across the region.
Well, Makeda, let's start by learning a bit about the National Council on Substance Abuse. Tell us who this organization is and who it targets.
Thank you so much, Yudaline. And I just want to put out there on behalf of the manager, Mrs. Betty Hunt, and her team here at an NCSA, we want to thank you for the invitation to be on Vision. We are the agency with the mandate of drug prevention in Barbados. And we fall under the aegis of the Ministry of Home Affairs and Information. We go to schools, primary, secondary, tertiary. We go into the communities and we go wherever we can based on research and based on requests to get our either drug education information into those communities or our substance abuse prevention programs to varying communities across Barbados.
Thanks, Makeda. Now, I know that over the years, we've heard lots of negative news about drug abuse in Barbados. How do you think the National Council on Substance Abuse has impacted the education of the public around drug abuse and drug abuse?
At the council, we have 4 program officers and 2 research information officers, as well as 2 counselors, 1 senior counselor and a counselor. With such staff, I think we have been doing our best to get the information to persons across the nation and to ensure that persons have not just information, but skills required for them to make informed decisions about drugs and their health in general, making wise choices to their health. There's always more we would love to do, but because of the limitations of our staff, where possible, we try to use volunteers to help us on ground in the community, in the schools. But there's always more we would love to do. I will put it like that.
Okay. Now, Makeda, I'm going to ask you a question, which I think some people might raise an eyebrow when they hear the question. Mm-hmm. But has the NCSA, the National Council on Substance Abuse, encountered persons with disabilities abusing drugs, whether it's prescribed drugs or the other type of drugs?
Well, I'm very happy for this question, Mudaline. The National Council on Substance Abuse have been working with the disabled population more so from 2010. And when we started to work with the population, it was not at first that we were made aware of abuse, but we were made aware that we are sharing information to the public, but at that time, we were not sharing the information in a friendly way that persons who are hearing impaired can access that information. So that is where our journey started with the disabled population. From there, working with the population, gaining their confidence and their trust, we started to learn that there were some who were abusing alcohol, and they were abusing alcohol for varying reasons. We also learned through some focus groups that we did that some misused medication, and it was mainly because of ignorance, not understanding how to take the medication. There was not an interpreter with them to help them to understand what the doctor was saying when they received the medication. We encountered similar situations like this. And back in 2010 as well, we were also looking at linking drug use and HIV. So we did extensive work with that population, mainly the hearing impaired. We had a couple blind persons that we worked with. I think we had probably another two visually impaired. And it is a population we want to continue to work with in the future.
Excellent. Because I think our society, because of their view of persons with disabilities, sometimes see us as a homogeneous group and we're all, you know, so perfect, not abusing drugs, not into prostitution, not being homosexuals. So I think your work is extremely important in helping members in our community to understand what is drug abuse and how to correctly use the various drugs they may have to use relating to their own impairment or disability. So thank you for that work.
You're very welcome.
So as you continue to work within the disabled community, I know you said that you would like to continue in this area. Any projects or programs you would care to share at this point?
Sure. Mm-hmm. At the National Council of Substance Abuse, we have a program called Stop, Think, Choose. This program was birthed out of our drug education sessions we used to do at Irvin Wilson School. As I said, we started back in 2010 at Irvin Wilson School, where we were timetabled, and we were timetabled with peer support education where we went in and we worked with the students who were better visually impaired. We worked with students who were deaf, and we gave them the drug education information as well as life skills to help them to make healthy choices. Out of that program, the adults wanted information as well. So that program, Stop, Think, Choose, was birthed out of the work of being with Irvin Wilson School. So this program is one that we want to expand beyond those who are deaf or hearing impaired. And we want to include more of the different pockets of the disabled population to get the information to them as well in formats that is friendly for them to understand as well.
I believe that one of the other groups within the disabled population are the individuals with intellectual challenges who also will need this information. So we need to reshape a program to integrate this group as well.
Yes, and where possible, Yudeline, you will know that we try to work with not just the population, but persons connected to the population as
Yes.
So one of the things coming out to the last sessions we did with the hearing impaired, which was very interesting, was, again, access to information in a way that the hearing impaired and deaf community can understand. So we brought in like pharmacists who were able to break down information. They had time to ask a lot of questions. And I was so taken back about the number of questions that they had for pharmacists as well, about medication and how to store the medication, how to take the medication safely. These things that we may take for granted day for day, the community needs to know and have in a way that is palatable for them so they can apply the information in a safe way. So even those that may have mental challenges, we will not just work with them as well. We will work with the parents, because at NCSA, a lot of our programs, we include persons from the household. So we have a holistic program going forward with everyone having the same information to encourage each other to implement healthy ways and healthy ways of to store medication, healthy ways that if there are adults in the house and they have alcohol, to store that safely away so that children and persons under 18 does not access that alcohol. Because in Barbados, we have upgraded our liquor license app, which now states that persons under 18 should not be using alcohol. They should not be selling or buying alcohol. And we want to make sure persons have this information. We also have our Health Services Regulation Act as it relates to smoking in Barbados. Again, protecting persons under 18 years. A person under 18 should not be used in advertisement when it relates to tobacco, what we call cigarettes or Fanta or vaping. It covers all of that. And we need to have the disabled having this information as well, because it covers them.
That is so true and very much needed. Yes. Now, Makeda, one of the other programs that you do is your camp for children entering the secondary school system. Tell us about this, and have you been able to incorporate students with disabilities?
Wow. Yudeline, thank you so much for asking us about that. Yes, at the National Council of Substance Abuse, we are recognizing our 23rd year of implementing Project Safeguarding Our Future Today, or Project SOFT. This program targets families who are transitioning from primary school to secondary school. Due to budget constraints, we only target 40 persons. And over the years, this program has evolved to see the population change in that we have had varying types of students. So once a student sat the 11 plus of that year and they're entering secondary school, they are qualified to register for this camp. We had our first visually impaired student 2 years ago, and that was a beautiful learning experience for the staff of the program, the children that were there, as well as feedback from that individual and his family about the impact of the camp, preparing him for his transition to secondary school. So where possible, we also worked with the disability unit who came into the camp, and they taught us at the camp as well how to work and how students can work with children who are blind, visually impaired at their schools. So if they go to secondary school, because we know some children start the 11 plus exam, and we also prepare the students for that transition as well. If you meet someone who is blind, how do you approach them? Not just go and grab their hands because you think you want to pull them across the street. It was such an informative session, and I encourage anyone who's listening, they can contact Disability Unit as well to get that information so that we can help our entire disabled community feel welcome, and not welcome by our own input, but an input that allows them to be integrated into society and in what they are doing.
Well, Makeda, this Project SOFT camp sounds like an excellent camp for children to really seek out and understand how to transition, how to move forward into the secondary school with confidence and grace. So you will be hosting it again this year. So tell us about the dates and the venue and what these parents would need to do to reach out to you.
Thank you so much. So this year, our 23rd project, which is in three components, we have phase one, which is the sleep in camp. So the children, we take them away from the home, and we have a residential component, and that is going to be from the 31st of August until the 6th of September. Now, I want parents to recognize this falls the week just before school. So we will be preparing the children in terms of waking up early and all the other aspects of their chores and deportment. We'll be preparing them in terms of the topics like health and nutrition. That is big for us, taking care of themselves, social graces, stress management, effective communication. And as the drug council, you know, we will be teaching them about the different types of drugs that are out there. And more importantly, drug refusal skills. That is just a taste of the daytime topics. And they want to measure self-esteem, self-concept, you know, anger management. We do those type of topics. And at night, we give them a more downtime. We have movie night. We roast breadfruit. We have karaoke. Back in the evenings, I failed to mention that we have sports time where we teach them about different sports, football, volleyball, etc., and give them different techniques so that when they do go into school, they have a little advantage in knowing, okay, yes, I really want to play volleyball. I really want to play road tennis, things like that. And they also were on the skill building in that they will go into art, drama, dance, or singing. So they have to choose one of those areas. So it's a lot that we do with them in 1 week. And parents, if you are interested to send your child, that child that you're concerned that may have a challenge transitioning from primary to secondary school, feel free to call us at the National Council on Substance Abuse at 535-6272. That is 535-6272. Once you call us, we will give you the information with the link so that you can go on and register your child. And we also want you to know that we will be having a parents meeting. So once parents are registered, they get to meet the entire team who will be in residence with the children. And I want to mention for those who may be a little reluctant, we do have security that is there as well. And at this time, I want to thank Barbados Police Service. I want to thank the Fire Service. I want to thank Barbados Defense Force. These persons came on over the years, Udaline, and they supported this project, ensuring that we have transportation wherever we have to go, that we have security, that we have personnel on the team. So National Council on Substance Abuse is so grateful for the partnerships we have over the 23 years, including those who have been coming on over the last 5 years.
Makeda, you make it sound so interesting and exciting. And I really hope that the parents will take this opportunity to help their children to grow, to mature as they prepare to go into secondary school, because all of what you're encouraging and fostering through the activities at this Project Soft camp, they will need in secondary school. So I am really thankful that the National Council on Substance Abuse is facilitating a camp like this. It is needed.
Yes. And I want to mention to you, Udaline, that we don't forget the parents, you know. I would have mentioned earlier, there are three components. The first is the residential camp. The second component is after the week, we have a 12-week program for the children. And then we follow them down to March next year. We check in with them, make sure things are okay. Those who need additional assistance, counseling, help, we follow through with them. But the third component is for you parents, where topics similarly to that which we taught the children, we teach you. So we do a blended approach where we will have the online, where you come and you get your theory-based information. But then the fun part comes where we meet and we actually have practice. So we do role plays and sculpting and so forth to get you practicing those skills in preparation for your child who is moving from childhood to adolescence. How do you cope with that? Your sweet little baby who run around and say, I'm ready to help. How can I help? Versus an adolescent now who seems to be moving slower and like you have to repeat things and you might feel a little frustrated. No, don't feel frustrated. We want to give you the information so you understand adolescence development stages so that you're not frustrated, but you have the information and the skills that you can help that young person to grow well. Because research shows, Udaline, that when persons get frustrated in the home, they will seek refuge elsewhere, including blocks and so forth. Research show one of the reasons persons choose to use a drug is to relieve stress. So if we can give persons the tools needed that can prevent or delay the onset of drug use, that is what the National Council on Substance Abuse is set up to do.
Great. And I think it is so imperative that parents do become very involved in their own learning as well, because it's okay for us as parents, grandparents, aunties, to want the children that we love to excel academically, vocationally, sports-wise. However, we want our children to excel. But in order for them to excel, we, the adults, the parents, the grandparents, and caregivers around, also need to grow and learn that we can give them the type of support they require to grow as well. So thank you for including the parents.
It is our pleasure.
So Makeda, as we get ready to wrap up, tell us a bit more about the other programs that the National Council on Substance Abuse have in place to reach young people so that our young people can understand how to build confidence and navigate all the challenges that come as an adult, as a teenager. You know, sometimes we are not adequately prepared within our households, but other agencies like the NCSA, Paradox, and so on can also help to strengthen the young people so that they too can be as resilient as is needed to navigate life's challenges.
That is so correct, Udaline. So at the council, let me start with the treatment area. We have an outpatient treatment set up where persons who believe or suspect a young person may be using a drug, they can call the NCSA to speak to one of the counselors to make an appointment or to get more information in that aspect. Our senior counselor is Mrs. Natalia Corbin Eiffel, and our counselor is Mr. Mosiah Hoyt, and they are confidential. Our manager is big on confidentiality, and I understand and say I know persons out there can't say that they've ever heard anything breached. So feel free that, you know, if you're going through something, you can reach out to the NCSA. Our counseling team is there, and they will set up that one-on-one assessment and then give the direction from there. Young people who go through that program, they also have another level where they go from individual to group. That is a strong program. So persons who qualify for that, they go on to the strong program. And that has a parent component as well, where parents, again, are given the information to help that person who is using or experimenting with a drug to transition away from that. Because sometimes in treatment, we only treat the person who is using, but we sometimes forget that anyone who use, it has a ripple effect on the persons in the household. So we have to work with the persons who are connected to them in the household and in the workplace to help that person to transition successfully from drug use. And I want to say, when I said successful transition, that can also include if the person relapsed, that they come back for help again. That is also success in treatment, huh? Because we believe a person will never relapse, but relapse is built into treatment. From there, we have the workplace program where persons from the NCSA team go into varying workplaces and we conduct drug education or substance abuse education with the entire workforce from management right down. We do that. And where necessary, NCSA have helped some organizations to develop their drug policy as well. So persons needed that can reach out to the NCSA. Outside of that, we go into the community. We receive requests. So if you would like an officer to come to your church, to your community group, or, you know, it could be Parents Teachers Association. We have had a number of requests from them over the years. Just feel free to write us or to call in, get the email address. And once you send that request in, it will be processed and an officer will be assigned to facilitate that request. So we have so many things that go on. We have programs for the primary schools. We have programs that is tailored from the nursery right up. We have programs in the secondary school. So we have a lot that is going on here. And I also want to mention our substance abuse badge, where we do some exclusive work with the Boy Scouts, Girls Guys, the Brownies. And we have just this year released our substance abuse badge for those who have been completing their badge work. So Udaline, 18 members of staff, but under our leadership, we have been working hard, getting out there. Sometimes we are not out there in the public too much that they're seeing all we are doing, but trust me, we are out there doing our best to get that information out there to Barbadians right across Barbados.
So, Makeda, one of the other areas that I know there has been quite a lot of concern is in the workspaces where guys have been known to abuse alcohol and marijuana especially. How does the NCSA help in this area?
In the past and present, we have had organizations who have reached out to NCSA. They have reached out to NCSA, one, if there was an employee that admitted or suspected of using a drug. We have had businesses who reached out and said, listen, we need direction on how to help this employee, and NCSA was able to do that. And then we had cases where persons reached out to NCSA and said, listen, we need some drug education programs among our staff, and we want help with the drug policy, as I mentioned. And we were able to tweak our workplace program according to the need. And go in and facilitate programs with all members of staff wherever they are located, with that impact that they have a drug education and the skills to see how using a drug can impact their work and impact persons around them when they choose to use a drug that may cause things like absenteeism. So when persons are not there at work and someone else have to pick up your slack, you know, that is impacting another individual as well. That is impacting the workplace. If you're using something as simple as overdosing on even medication that have you impaired and you're not working machinery correctly, you can injure yourself or someone. So it is a broad spectrum, and based on the request, NCSA has gone in and again is willing to go wherever we can to get that information to help create and enhance healthy workspaces.
Beautiful, beautiful. So Makeda, our time is running quickly, and I want you to just remind our parents about Project Soft Camp and how they can reach out to you and really get our children into a new space of learning and gaining confidence.
Thank you so much. So parents, guardians, aunties, uncles, dads, because we have a lot of dads out there that have been a part of our program. If you want to be a part of this program that is 23 years old, meaning we have been doing this for a while, feel free to call us at 535-6272. The Project Soft Residential Camp will be from the 31st of August until the 6th of September, and it is a sleeping camp. Feel free to call us again at 535-6272 for more information.
Well, Makeda, it really has been extremely informative chatting with you today and learning about the work of the National Council on Substance Abuse, and more specifically, the work you have been doing with our deaf and hard of hearing community, and by extension, persons, their family members, and other persons with disabilities. So thank you so much for this excellent work, and we pray that you will continue to reach out to more and more persons with disabilities, that the education continues.
And thank you very much, Udaline, for inviting the National Council on Substance Abuse on your program Vision. It has been a pleasure being with you today.
Thank you. You have been listening to Visions with me, Udaline Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest, Makeda Bourne, the Substance Abuse Prevention Officer with the National Council on Substance Abuse. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website, and you can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, please love yourself real bad. And love your neighbor just as bad as you love yourself. So until then, ciao.